From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we have a lot of information coming from our country and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo said, new normal implementation in stages and on priority scale. Minister Retno said, collaboration between nation in vaccine development is vital. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the new normal order will be implemented in each region in stages and based on scale of priority. As quoted by Antara News Agency in his directive during a visit to the Office of the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling at the National Disaster Mitigation Agency building in Jakarta on Wednesday. The president stated that the government will not relax the restriction in all areas immediately. There will be a gradual opening of sectors and activities and not 100% at once. He also remarked that 50% of the area in some regions had been reopened. Periodic evaluation will be conducted in some regions that have already relaxed restriction. The president also lauded the move to open places of worship while continuing to abide by the health protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19. President Joko Widodo also urged his aides to focus on priorities in the implementation of the new normal order in economic sectors, including agriculture, animal husbandry, plantation, manufacturing, construction, oil industry and mining. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi emphasized the importance of collaborative efforts between countries for a vaccine development at a recent virtual meeting of the Ministerial Coordination Group on COVID-19, MCGC, held more recently. The virtual meeting focused on the importance of vaccine development to fight COVID-19 pandemic and was attended by representatives from Indonesia, Singapore, the Philippines, the Republic of Korea, Australia, Canada, Peru, and Morocco. Stressing on the need for creating a fair mechanism based on scientific studies in the context of vaccine distribution, Minister Retno Marsudi said that once vaccines are found, special attention needs to be accorded to certain countries that do not enjoy equal access to vaccine. She also remarked in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, that the same applies to the consideration towards the risk of re-spreading the virus in countries which do not have access to vaccine. The coronavirus pandemic advanced steadily Wednesday through Latin America, where the death toll passed more than 70,000 fatalities, even as Europe planned to reopen its external borders to foreigners in July. As quoted by AFP.com, the Americas North and South remain the epicenter of the global health crisis, accounting for almost half the 412,926 deaths and 7.3 million infections worldwide, based on an AFP tally of figures released by National Health Ministries on 1900 hours GMT. Brazil accounts for almost 40,000 or more than half of Latin America's total death, registering 1,274 fatalities in the last 24 hours. Even as the virus continued to cut a swath through the country, economic capital Sao Paulo began to reopen shops on Wednesday as a part of gradual resumption of activity. Shopping malls were set to reopen in a slew of cities on Thursday, the day before Brazilians celebrate Valentine's Day. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. German Minister of Foreign Affairs Heiko Maas stated in Jerusalem on Wednesday that Germany and its European partners have serious concerns over Israel's plans to annex parts of the occupied West Bank. As quoted by AFP.com, the first high-level European visitors to Israel since the coronavirus pandemic hit, Maas brought a message of a disquiet to Israel, which he later reiterated in neighboring Jordan. Speaking in Jerusalem, Maas expressed his honest and serious concerns about the possible consequences of such a step. Israel has signaled it intends to annex West Bank settlement and the Jordan Valley as proposed by US President Donald Trump, with initial steps slated to begin from July 1st, the same day Germany takes the rotating European Union presidency. Along with the European Union, it's believed that the annexation would not be compatible with international law. This was affirmed by Maas in a joint press conference alongside his Israeli counterpart Gabi Ashkenazi, calling instead for the resumption of talks towards a two-state solution. The UK industry bodies have again pushed the government to allow travel corridor deals with other countries, as quoted by BBC.com. They want to know when and how ministers will agree deals with other countries so more people would be exempt from new quarantine rules for people arriving in the UK. The business and university group said it is vital for the economy that the UK begins to open up to trading partners. The government said it was continuing to consider such travel corridors. A range of organizations representing businesses across the UK have written to ministers asking them for clarity on how and when the government might relax travel restriction. The bosses of groups representing industry, tourism, hospitality and universities, as well as regional and national chambers of commerce said it was vital that the UK begun to open up for trade. India's financial capital Mumbai has recorded 51,000 cases of COVID-19, taking it past the peak in Wuhan, where the virus originated. As quoted by BBC.com, the news comes amid a surge of infection in India, which has 266,598 confirmed cases. Maharashtra state, of which Mumbai is the capital, has 90,000 of them. Infections are also spiking in the capital Delhi, where authorities have said they predict to see more than 500,000 cases by the end of July. The surge coincides with India's decision to relax restrictions after 3 months of stringent lockdown that was intended to curb the spread of the COVID-19. On June 8, shopping malls, places of worship, and offices were allowed to reopen. Previously, shops, marketplaces, and transport services had all been allowed to operate as well. But experts says that there was no other option but to lift the lockdown, which exacted a massive economic toll on the country. A former government advisor, Professor Neil Ferguson, stated that the number of coronavirus deaths in the UK would have been halved if lockdown had been introduced a week earlier. As quoted by BBC.com, Professor Neil Ferguson, whose advice was crucial to the decision to go into lockdown, said that the outbreak had been doubling in size every 3 or 4 days before measures had been taken. The UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that it was still too early to make such a judgment. Professor Neil also stated his side would have to look back on all of it and learn the lesson that he can. Meanwhile, Chief Scientific Officer Sir Patrick Vallance said that important questions about the measures taken still need to be addressed. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary entitled, What Can Be Gained from Long-Distance Learning During COVID-19 Pandemic? Indonesian government must cease learning activities at schools or higher education and then implement long-distance or online learning to prevent the COVID-19 spread. So far, the learning model at Indonesian schools has mostly taken place through face-to-face or physical interaction between teachers and students. According to a survey by Indonesian Child Protection Commission or KPAI, most schools in Indonesia experienced an issue in executing the long-distance learning. Many students do not have internet access to join online classes, so they lost the opportunity to have proper education. Based on online complaints from students received by KPAI, 76.7% stated that they do not like learning from home. Despite the issues, we need to admit that there are still some positive aspects to be gained or learned and to continue from the long-distance learning during this pandemic. First, the teacher's role is not dominant during online classes. Oppositely, during physical classes, teachers or educators are relatively dominant. Teachers teach while students listen. During the long-distance learning, the teacher or educator's role is not dominant. Obviously, onwards, teachers should refrain from being dominant. They should play the role of facilitator who helps students grow and develop. Secondly, cooperation among school management, teachers, and parents can be built well. Previously, there was not good cooperation among the three. This good cooperation experience between teachers and parents during the long-distance learning reminds everyone that education is not only a one-sided responsibility, but also all stakeholders. Thirdly, technology mastery in learning becomes a must. Now and later, technology stays as the main chance to discover creative, effective, and efficient ways in the learning and teaching process. Therefore, onwards, the long-distance learning must be a serious concern for the stakeholders. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on June 11, 1962, when General Gatot Subroto passed away. General Gatot Subroto, who was an active soldier in three eras, has become a soldier of Dutch East Indies in the Dutch occupation period, member of Defenders of the Homeland in the Japanese occupation, and People's Security Army. He played an active role in the war to defend the independence of Indonesia as Commander of Division 2, Commander of Corps of Military Police, and Governor of Regional Military of Surakarta and surrounding area, and he also extinguished Indonesian Communist Party in 1948. He was born in Banyumas in October 1909, and he also became an initiator of the establishment of Academy of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia, which was changed to become National Military Academy. General Gatot Subroto has a firm stance, high solidarity, and strong character. He passed away in Jakarta on June 11, 1962, at the age of 55 years old. The general was buried at Mulyo Harjo Village, Ungaran, Yogyakarta. On his great services in the state after his death, General Gatot Subroto is inaugurated as National Hero. The next event is that in 1963, Monk of Buddha, Thich Quang Duc, burned himself to death. Quang Duchis, a monk of Buddha, Mahayana, from Vietnam, burned himself to death at a junction in Saigon on June 11, 1963. He opposed the persecution of Buddhist community by the government of Roman Catholic of South Vietnam, led under Ngo Dinh Diem, during the Buddha crisis in the country. After his death, Quang Duc's body was cremated, but his heart is still undamaged. This action was considered as a turning point in Buddha's crisis and has a major role in overthrowing Diem, who was killed on November 2, 1963. Thank you. And the last event is that in 2007, landslide occurred in Chittagong. On June 11, 2007, heavy rain, which caused landslide, covered slums around hilly areas of the city in Chittagong, Pakistan. Previously, some experts had reminded the local people of the increase of landslides because of the government of Bangladesh's failure in limiting illegal tree clearance, which happened in Chittagong. Total victims were reported at least 128, including 59 children and more than 150 injured. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, ASEAN Center for Biodiversity ACB says, consensus of ASEAN sea conservation more strengthened. Commemorating World Sea Day on June 8, the ASEAN Center for Biodiversity ACB said,
the consensus to protect the sea in the ASEAN region by making 30% of its waters as a marine conservation area strengthened among experts and policymakers. Executive Director of ASEAN Center for Biodiversity, ACB, Teresa Mondita Eslim, in her written statement received in Jakarta on Monday, June 8, said that the ACB and the environmental organization, the New Charitable Trust, had held a virtual meeting on protecting the ocean, the critical role of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. The discussion was attended by marine experts, policymakers, government representatives and civil society organizations and researchers who discussed about means to protect 30% of the oceans for the ASEAN region. Teresa Mondita Eslim said, there has consensus growing among experts on the importance of protecting at least 30% of the ocean by establishing marine conservation area to achieve various environmental and economic goals. In a study on global costs and benefits of expanding marine conservation area, Teresa Mondita Eslim said, the effective expanding and management will have a positive economic impact. The ASEAN region is blessed with rich marine biodiversity, accommodating one-third of the world's coastal and marine habitats, covering coral reefs, mangroves, estuaries, sandy and rocky beaches, seagrass beds, as well as other soft communities. According to Teresa Mondita Eslim, with increasing population pressure and increasing human activities, such as over-exploitation, sedimentation, and pollution, can save and protect the rich and important marine resources. She called on all parties to work harder so that present and future generations can enjoy the benefits of clean and healthy ocean. That was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet. Lawas Mas Pati is one of tourism hamlets in Surabaya, East Java, that presents history of Surabaya in the colonial era. The hamlet's attraction is on the historical buildings which are preserved until at present. On January 24, 2016, Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet was inaugurated as tourism hamlet by Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Hari ini. Its location is at Bubutan Village, Bubutan Subdistrict, Surabaya, East Java Province. Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet consists of 6 neighborhood units. Most of them are the families of freedom fighters, especially who fought at the Battle of November 10. Therefore, at the hamlet, there are many original buildings of the Surabaya hamlet which still stand sturdy that are inhabited by the fighters' families. One of the buildings belongs to Raden Sumo Miharjo, a figure of Surakarta Sultanate, who is familiar called Doro Mantri by local residents. There is also Ongkoloro School, a former elementary school at the time, and also a building of military's headquarters that was built in 1907. In addition, there are also a number of historical goods which are stored by the fighters' families until at present. Touring to Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet, you do not need hesitate. The local residents have special tour package for Saturday and Sunday. A group of tourists, at least 15 people, can pay 2 million rupiah until 2.5 million for a complete visit package. But do not worry, package for individuals is also provided. During your stay in Lawas Mas Pati, you can go down the path of the hamlet by foot while witnessing historical building. Moreover, you can also watch residents' activities such as recycling garbage and wastewater treatment process. You can also learn how to make the leading products of the hamlet, such as processing passion fruit syrup or jelly drink. Residents of Mas Pati Hamlet have a number of leading products and handicrafts. You can buy it as souvenirs. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Sepi kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku. Untuk merangkukku, kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu, ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ingin ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku
Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be Miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's Citizen, we present you information on PT POS launches space application. To face COVID-19 pandemic, new normal concept is gradually begun to be implemented in many countries, including Indonesia. In Indonesia, various kinds of preparation to face new normal have been conducted by many sites and also industrial sectors. One of the state-owned enterprises, which recently has provided special steps to face the new normal, is PT POS Indonesia. PT POS Indonesia launched an application to face the new normal. The application is Space and POS Giro Mobile. Director of Strategic Relations and Agency of PT POS Indonesia, Nur Fadriansah, said that PT POS invented innovation by developing digital service, namely space conference video and financial service application of POS Giro Mobile. The digital service, which is obtained from the space application, is video conference as media which supports meeting virtually. Via this digital service, people can keep a distance or do not meet physically, but they can hold a meeting virtually. According to Nur Fadriansah, the space application is hope as solution on the need of internal communication and coordination, which is more efficient and faster in supporting business operation. He also claimed that the space application is not much different from other applications. The space application is confirmed safer, more effective, and efficient in terms of operational costs for PT POS Indonesia, because it has been developed by its internal IT team. Space application has other advantages, which do not owned by other virtual applications. The space application can still be used on data connection, which is not too high. At least, this is still able to run on data connection on 50 kilobytes, and its performance will increase more according to data connection level. This application can also reach various remote regions in Indonesia. For its feature, space is provided in application on the base of websites and also Android mobile version, which is integrated by information system of SDM of PT POS management. PT POS also provides application in financial service with the name POS Giro Mobile. Through the application, people can do transaction of financial service as usual. With this online-based service, it is hoped that it can support the community so that they do not have to leave the house to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Hari terus berganti, banyak yang telah terjadi. Dirimu kian pasti, segala kan kurangi. Oh, bila esok menjelang, bahagia pun kan datang. Bintang di angkasa
ku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impianku. Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Waktu terus menguji,
waktu terus menguji
tekad yang ku miliki. Oh, dan kini telah terbukti. Oh, segala kan ku gapai, rintangan ku hadapi, cobaan ku lalui. Semua telah ku dapati. Tetaplah bersinar gemilang. Tempatku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impian. Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Oh,
Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song from Protonema band titled Rinduku Adinda. Protonema is a band group from Bandung which was formed in 1989. The name of Protonema was taken from biological term that means most parts. The name was chosen with the hope the music of Protonema can be received by people, especially music lovers in Indonesia. The name of Protonema began to popular in the 1990s. Miko, the vocalist, was former personnel of Java Jive band replacing Ozzy. With the personnels Dodi, bassist, Gun Gun, keyboardist, Didi, drummer, Sidik, guitarist, and Miko, the vocalist, Protonema managed to release their hit songs. One of hit songs of Protonema is Rinduku Adinda, which is available in its second album titled November. The song Rinduku Adinda tells a story of someone's longing to his or her lover. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Rinduku Adinda by Protonema Band.
Cause
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
It's been almost an hour, we from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.